Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, wide receivers in this edition of the Market Share Rundown. So again, if you're just jumping in on this, I did running backs and quarterbacks earlier this week, so you can check out wide receivers here. Amari Cooper, Brandon Cooks, Jarvis Landry, three guys in the lead of my rostership, 33% on all of them. I think the best blend of cost and production is Cooks at this point. If I could pivot off of Cooper, I will try to do so. Aaron Jones is the spot that I saw pivoted. I think that's interesting. I have Cooper in some spots where I deal from depth too. And I think that one's an interesting one. But that Aaron Jones type of valuation, I think, is pretty compelling. Aaron Jones probably gives you more upside equity, more championship equity than I think Amari Cooper necessarily offers at this point. So that's one that's interesting. Cooks is really, it's like a second round rookie pick. I mean, he's a really interesting way to, I think, plug some gaps too, if you have it, to go out and potentially add him. Jarvis Landry in fourth round rookie picks. I mean, there's not a huge market there. I think it's probably more of a fair trade is somewhere in probably the second round where you're probably more likely to get some accepts if you're sending him, but at fourth round, and again, it doesn't necessarily need to be that you make that payment in May, but if things get off to a right start, October rolls around, you might find yourself looking at a 7-target-a-game Landry and thinking, okay, like this could make some sense, and the team might not necessarily be in the business of competing, having Landry and looking for a pivot. You might be able to make a market there. Moving down the list, there's going to be a lot of familiar names on this. Mike Evans, 30% here. Some interesting deals involving Evans. I was just hopping in the trade finder looking at some arbitrage opportunities, some pivots. Ayuk straight up, 109 straight up, 201 straight up. Evans and Elliott for 304, a first and a second next year. That one's interesting if you're trying to pivot to some additional assets. You start breaking down the value on that. I might even be interested on the pick side because I think the receivers, you can take some of that pick equity, flip it into Cooks, and all of a sudden you actually look like you have a pretty good deal. Yeah, if you take that and say, all right, from that reservoir of picks or the equivalent there, I can take that and trade it for Connor and Cooks, and all of a sudden I have some pretty good residual, whether that's you have a first left over, that might even be pretty close to it. You know, I wouldn't probably give a first for Cooks or Connor or violating the top 30 rule, but you get the idea. Like, you're going to definitely get some juice on top of that if you're willing to just sort of pivot. So those are some opportunities to explore. Generally, we're strong on Evans, but I think if you're going to sort of package in a deal together, just remember that you can pivot back towards another guy that you like. Think of it as more of like a three-team trade. That would just be a piece of advice that I found from looking at some of these trades. Future force for Julio. We'll see where he lands. It's funny that AJ Green, after this year, goes actually more expensive than Julio. Future thirds. Cousins, AJ Green, Komet for Stafford. I think that's an interesting one, just using spare parts to upgrade at quarterback. I mean, that's a really good way to cash out pieces. So I like that deal quite a bit there. So those are the 30% guys. Again, six guys really above 30%. Fuller is at 26%. That's 212, 308. Ridley straight up. Those different price points there. So I'm more interested in the 308. The 212 is, I think he's a difference maker from that aspect. You're probably not getting a ton of them in that range. It's TDP, maybe Brian Robinson, somewhere in that range. But assuming those guys are gone, I think Fuller can make a difference there. We'll see where he lands. Ridley, again, what are you valuing at this point? It would sort of be my question there. Corey Davis at 23%. I actually went on and looked, and I was like, all right, well, what could he draw? 75 targets was the Mike Clay projection. That's pretty depressing. So we'll see if maybe that pivots, but the triple-digit target hope for Corey Davis, probably not necessarily there. 19% on Devontae Adams, Tyler Lockett, Michael Thomas, and actually Justin Ross. Some interesting things here for Adams. Adams was involved with in a deal for Davis Mills and Tyreek Hill. I'm sorry, Davis Mills and 111. I misread my handwriting. Davis Mills and 111, so pretty cheap there for Adams if you're looking. And then a first, a third, and 308. So a first and a third next year and 308. That's much more, you know, that's a much better, I think, return on Adams. And I don't, again, it's, you feel like you're bailing. The question is can you recreate it, right? Can you take 80% of Adams and plug that hole and take the cash out, right? That would be the stuff that I'd be thinking about when you're thinking about these deals. Adams and 209 for Brady and Montgomery. And that's an interesting one. Is I was looking at these and I kept going back to our friend who was like, oh, I got to trade Mahomes and Kelsey because I don't have any depth. I kept looking at these deals and I was like, all right, well, how do you, I was just thinking about some of these deals. A couple of them came up. How do you actually spin a quarterback out of nothing? Like, there's a great one. Again, you look at Adams and Montgomery. Do they close to replicate each other? I mean, in the, they're shouting distance from each other. I think injuries and, you know, injury risk and changing coaching staffs. Like, there's a lot of uncertainty there with both of them. But you could say, like, all right, just relatively close, and Brady could smash. And all of a sudden, like, that's how you can absolutely fix a hole. And you take, you borrow from wide receiver to fix holes. That's the name of the game in this, in Dynasty. And that was, I thought, a savvy one. That wouldn't have been necessarily one I would have led with. But when I was looking at it, I was like, oh, I have respect for that. Lockett. And for 205, Van Jefferson's a different one. He's all over the place. This one's interesting. Lockett and 107 for 106 in a future fourth. So basically a one-spot move-up in a flat round is what Lockett returned, plus a fourth. I mean, come on. Give me, like, that's, again, how do you fix depth? That's a great way to fix depth. Like, you're arrogant enough to trade Lockett so you can move up one pick and try and beat him. Like, yes, like 100%. That's a great way to trade down. That is a great, great deal in terms of, all right, like, I have issues. Well, what do I do? Add Tyler Lockett and move down one spot in a tier. Excellent. Bang. Wide receiver 3 solved. By the way, Mike Clay had him projected at wide receiver 25. I know there's not a ton of love right now for what Seattle's doing, but both him and Metcalf, top 25 guys projection right now. Could absolutely eat you some innings and figure something out for you long term. So I'm generally, I think I'm a buy side guy for him, and I'd be interested. There's a couple spots where I have some holes I need to plug. I'm going to explore the Lockett market for sure. All right, Michael Thomas, 207. Michael Thomas for Woods in 307. Again, listen, I've seen him be excellent, and I've seen him be really, really good. And Is it a lot to expect right now for him to be a big time difference maker? Maybe, but I've seen that, and it's tough to turn that off, right? It's tough to forget that, or it's tough to just discard that once you've seen it. So I would be careful on discarding him at those costs. I think he can beat them. And you're thinking, like, second round rookie picks, you're thinking, you know, day two rookie running backs. Like, yeah, we like them. But we like them kind of in a HHG type of way. Like, Michael Thomas, if he's right, we've seen him be a monster. So, like, he was on a Hall of Fame track before it went off the rails. So just sort of keep that in mind, that that's the type of asset you're dealing with. I'm willing to take a shot on a guy like Michael Thomas sort of at that cost. There's some question about him for an early second next year. And I think that, yeah, this year you look at that pick and you say, all right, like, a later second, we kind of know what it is, right? It's okay. Like, it's, you know, it's a Brian Robinson, it's TDP. Like, it's fine. But if you're looking to try and fix wide receiver, if you're looking for a guy that can offer you plenty of upside, if you're looking at a guy that could really outperform the cost at the receiver position, Michael Thomas is a good bet. That's a good investment price. Like, Lockett, I don't know if Lockett has fully that, but Lockett's probably a poorer version of that. But when you pivot that to a next year pick, what you're doing is you're locking yourself into making the bet now, right? You're again, it's I don't like to speculate on those on those situations with future picks. Like, let's see, even in a best case scenario, right? If a month goes by, Michael Thomas is wide receiver 10 on the season, is he going to be drawing first, right? Is he gettable for a second? And is he gettable for a second and maybe another good starter? Good starter in the sense of like someone that you weren't necessarily expecting had a good start to the season. An early season overperformer, if you will. Something like that, is a deal like that more possible, right? Whereas if he sort of performs at a median expectation, I think he's going to cost more than a second. So that's and there's other ways to fix that problem if that's going to be some of the median stuff. So again, if I'm looking at him or an early second, I'm sort of thinking that through. Is it really him for an early second? And then, you know, what's my pivot to a guy like Brandon Cooks? Right? Am I sort of trading within the second round? Right? Is that kind of what I'm doing? Or, you know, can I move a later second this year for Cooks while taking a second next year for Thomas? And I've probably moved up in terms of some of the equity, and maybe I've captured a similar range of outcomes, right? That would sort of be the thing that I would think about there, and probably why I would take the future second and stash it, because I can probably figure out ways, unless Michael Thomas really, really smashes, I can recreate it. But again, even if he really, really smashes, I'm not sure you're going to be priced out at that second round rookie pick valuation when he's smashing. That might be the opportunity people think about, like, hey, now I can sell high, and a second plus is a sell high for them, right? So just sort of keep that in mind. I think that's a little bit of a nuanced thing that we talked about a little bit in the group chat. Justin Ross, 19% as well. He was cheap. 15%. Again, here we talk about trades, how to structure trades to fix problems. This is a great one. Higgins and Tyreek Hill for DJ Moore. And let's just stop there for a second. Just stop there for a second. That is close enough to say it's even, right? Just you take those and you set them aside, right? You take those and you set them aside in our parlance. There's people that probably like T. Higgins a lot more than DJ Moore. We're not going to necessarily get into that, right? Like, if that's what they want, fine. We're going to take a pound of flesh from you. When you want to make that bet, that's fine. We'll be your broker. We'll be the tax man. We're going to take a pound of flesh, and Tyreek and the second part of that deal, right? So it's Higgins for DJ Moore. Set that aside. It ends up becoming Hill for Stafford and 208. Bam. How do you fix quarterback? You do that. That's how you fix quarterback, right? You take that pivot and you move. You let someone else take a bet that they like a lot more at wide receiver at a range that we know the outcomes are relatively similar, and you take a big old chunk out of them to do that, and that's a great trade. I love that trade. I love the structure. I think it's a great, and you're getting 208, so you're also insulating yourself a little bit. You get some additional assets in there. I like that a ton. A first and a third for DJ Moore as well, so some value spots there. I haven't seen a ton of Hopkins traded since the suspension stuff, but I'm in third round rookie pick valuation range. Yeah, I think that's interesting. You look at like a poor man's Lockett. Like, you want to do that? Like, yeah, we could be in on that. I think that's interesting. Keenan Allen's like a second plus or a late first this year type. Again, I don't want to lock up first rounders next year, but I think a second plus this year, I think, makes a lot of sense. Something in that range, even if it's a second plus next year. I feel better about him than a guy like Michael Thomas, so that would be the distinction there. Again, I don't necessarily love those trades, but I do think that those guys are different enough that you could feel maybe a little bit more confidence with locking that in with Allen right now. Guys at 11%, Sammy Watkins, 408, Van Jefferson, some returns for him. Hamler, 408. You know, another one, I really like the way you address depth. This is a great way to address depth. I'd be curious of who was there at 202. If that was, Sky Moore or something like that, maybe we could have a little bit different conversation. Watson, if that was someone that fell and that was like one that top tier, you know, if that's Alave fell, for example, I'm just speculating. the person there matters, but generally speaking, those things haven't fallen to there. So I'm assuming like Rashad White type guys were sort of in that range, the normal range of guys that went at 202, Dotson, and that's the cast of characters we're talking about, Malik Willis, right? Someone in that range. This is a great trade. You trade that 202 pick for 210, but get back Juju Smith-Schuster and KJ Hamler. Hamler doesn't even matter to me in this deal all that much. I just really like that pivot from, you think about what you're pivoting in, right? You're pivoting in basically that same, you could take that round three running back profile at the, either the beginning of the second round, the middle of the second round, or a later second round in the third round. It's fine. You got all the shots at it. That's what you're basically are being, and you're getting Juju Smith-Schuster. How do you fix depth? That's how you fix depth. That's how you fix depth. That's a great trade. And again, Hamler is probably not going to be super consequential, I don't think, but he's a kick in. You get a couple months to look and see, and maybe it's a 5% shot, something like that. Like, fine. But I think the big aspect of it, the lens at which I look through this Hamler deal, is that Juju Smith-Schuster in 210 for 202. That's a really good move. Again, you're getting equity on the odds of a Pat Mahomes wide receiver one. Like, I'm interested in that. Top wide receivers from this class, Danny Gray. This is just ridiculous. Danny Gray, Velus Jones, and Sky Morrell at 11%. So, guys. Oh, that's Justin Ross, 19%. So, those are the top four guys that I had from this class. Again, all later, right? Those are all basically third round guys. Well, Gray and Velus Jones are third into fourth round guys. Sky Moore is kind of in that later first round range was where I nabbed him. A-Rob, a little bit all over the place. I saw him at 112. That seems rich. Later second round, future second. I think you're kind of holding at this point. Again, just think about the number of guys we've talked about. Like, hey, future second round pick. Like, let the market sort itself out a little bit. Let the information speak to us, and then make that move would sort of be my thought. There's a plenty of people to sort of think about that with. Some Ridley trades, 207, 211, 209, and a future second. So that's a huge return. I would take that. The 207, 211, I mean, if you want to reset the clock there, I think the construction would matter a little bit too. If it's 20-team FFPC or 20-man FFPC, 12-team league, if it's super flex, it's even less guys on your roster. That just totally bites. Not really loving that, and you can't roster him on IR or anything like that. All those rules I think matter in terms of Ridley. If it's 40 man, like, I'll take the shot on him making more of a 130 target difference, even though it's been a couple years. We'll be in the Michael Thomas range of his return, so for what that's worth. And these guys are all at market. Hollywood Brown straight up for Gibson. Another ARB here. How do you fix wide receiver depth? Well, 104 for 110 in Hollywood Brown. Excellent deal. Again, you just let other people pay the toll. Right? You're just the toll taker. You're the tax man. Right? You're the broker fee guy. Like, hey, you want to trade up? Yeah, sure. Give me this guy. And perfect. You just ARB'd it. Excellent. Not only did you ARB it, you did better than ARB it. Because what do we know? Guys that have hit outperform guys that haven't hit at the same cost. Bam. Like that. Simple AOD principles applied. That trade right there, I love that deal. Tyreek Hill, again, I'm going to probably be in the business of trying to buy Tyreek Hill at something, an off-season project that I'm going to be undertaking there. So Cooper Kupp, not a ton of. That's a big regret. I think I have him at like 4%, something like that. He is a big regret. Again, not in on a ton of the more recent wide receiver breakouts just because I haven't been spending assets at that spot. But again, I think replenishing down the line, taking some smart bets, and then pivoting up from them when we get the opportunity to do so, right? Pivoting across positions. We can figure out mid-career wide receiver guys pretty well, I think. I think that's a place that we can understand where to move and where to acquire these guys and be pretty successful in doing so. So excited about that. And again, it's a little bit more limited board than you might otherwise think. A lot more running backs sort of up there and around. It's a little bit more limited construction on the receivers. Not rostering as many probably helps that number stay down as well. But hope that helps in terms of some of the things that I think about on my team, sort of how I put them together. Again, I'd like you guys to be able to see sort of what I'm thinking, what I'm doing And it keeps me accountable. It gives me fresh ideas. I hear back from you guys too. So kick your thoughts back. Be glad to hear it. Love to see where you guys are at in terms of exposures. It'll give me other ideas, content ideas as well. So excited for all that. And let me know. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.